Sometimes I actually feel, and this would be one of those times, but I don't intend to do that, but sometimes I feel after a certain time of prayer, like just sitting down, that was enough. But that's not the case. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, and we actually had two messages this morning. One that finished up Psalm 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? I hope that you think much about that and about the words that you would speak, that fill your mouth throughout the day, the things that you would say to one another. But then we began looking at the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. This is a way, it is the path, and it is a way that is above, and the way is Jesus Christ. We looked at John 14:6, if you would turn there. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. And no man, no woman, no boy, no girl can come unto the Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. We will ultimately finish up this passage by looking more distinctly at John 14:6. So this way that is above, it is of heavenly origin, and it is above. It is always spoken of as something that is higher and lifted up. It is truly the unspeakable gift, the gift of salvation. Which there's, and I think apart from being in heaven and realizing what we have been redeemed from, there really are no words to adequately describe the gift of salvation. We do have many privileges, as Bridges stated. The wise in their most favored moments cannot fully conceive their present privileges, how much less the glorious unfolding when the cloud shall never more be known. Well, it is a way and a walk that is above, that we would depart from hell beneath. Again, Bridges, the moment we desire this heavenly state, we have begun to know it, and we shall rise higher and higher heavenward till we take our place before the throne of God. Thus he that is truly wise, and this is where we'll begin this evening, truly wise in this holy way of obedience is walking to eternal life. Children of God, walk with your hearts lifted up in the ways of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 17:6. 2 Chronicles 17:6, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. Oh, to have our hearts lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Don't you wish on those occasions when you find yourself closer to the Lord that you could have that more and more? That your heart really would be lifted up in the ways of the Lord? Those times that are so blessed, those times of prayer, when you find yourself so close to the Lord, with holy loftiness above what? Above the simple pleasures of earth, looking at things that are unseen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what's being described here by the Apostle Paul? He's talking about the Christian that is not so consumed with the eye that is looking only at the things that are seen. Only the things that you can see and that you can touch. And those things are temporal. They're going to pass away. The beauty is to be able to see the things that are not seen, which is with the eye of faith. That is the eye. That is the vision that we want to be 2020. Matthew 6, 20 and 21. Matthew 6, 20 and 21. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we ask ourselves, where is my treasure? Where is my treasure? Because if I find my treasure, if I find the thing that I want more than anything else, that's where my heart's going to be. We cannot serve Christ and the world at the same time. It cannot be done. God must be the king over your heart. His law, His will, His precepts must receive our first attention. Not our second attention, not our third attention, not when we can find time. First, our first attention. That's where our treasure needs to be. Then and only then will everything in the inward man begin to fall into place. And unless our hearts are so ordered, everything else is going to be in confusion. That's how it is. This is not something that I'm making up. This is the Word of God. That is how it is. We need to learn from our Lord's caution about worldliness. And as Calvin says, what immense need we all have to watch and pray against an earthly spirit. There is such a vast majority of professing Christians laying up treasure on earth. their tastes, their ways, their habits tell a fearful tale. They are not laying up treasure in heaven. And I'm sorry, that was not Calvin, it's Ryle. Let us all beware that we do not sink into hell by paying excessive attention to lawful things. Things that are actually lawful. He says that open transgression of God's law slays its thousands, but worldliness its tens of thousands. So what is the warning here? What is the sign? What is the caution sign that's up when we're driving our cars and we see the green light? We know that means to go. And we see the red light, that means to stop. But when we see the yellow light, it's a caution light. It means that we need to be on our guard here. Because it's not go and it's not stop, it's caution. Pay attention here. And that's how it is with the Word of God. Do we think of these things? Do we think of the caution? Do I think that applies to me? Do I think that applies to me? Or do I only think, especially because I'm the one giving out the word, do I only think that it applies to you? No. It applies to every one of us. It is a caution to every one of us. And what is the caution? Against worldliness. The caution is against worldliness. Of having that earthly spirit. And as Ryle says, in our tastes, in our ways, and in our habits. Second Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. Second Corinthians 5, 6, 7, and 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Where is your home? Colossians 3. 1 through 3. Very familiar verses to us. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, just stop right there and just ask yourself, are you spiritually risen with Christ? If so, what is the injunction? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So we are to seek those things which are above. We are to set our affections on things that are above. And we are to mortify or slay those members that are upon the earth. And then the laundry list of sins that are there. It says in my Bible, in the margin, holy ambitions and affections. Do we have these holy ambitions and affections? Is that what I want to exist in my life? Do I ever actually ask the Lord to create that within me? Do I ever ask the Lord to give me that heart to do those things? To seek those things which are above? To actually, Lord, set my affections upon Christ and those things which are above? Which are what? Above. 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 As our verse states, the way of life is above to the wise. If we had more of heaven in our hearts, we should have more of its spirit in our profession. We would think less of the roughness of the way if we more fully realized the rest that is beyond. And just as I was praying earlier, when we think of seeking first the kingdom of God, isn't it true that when all is going well in our lives, when we have plenty of food to eat, when we have plenty of gas in our cars, when our job appears to be secure, that our family is in good health, and all of those things are going well with us, it becomes very easy to serve the Lord. But when those things are not like that, when we have difficulty at our work, when we don't have enough food, or we don't know where or how we're going to pay that next bill, and all of those things just crowd in and they're poured upon us, and they are truly things that we think about and we are concerned with, at that point it becomes more difficult to put the Lord first. But again, if you turn over to Matthew 6:33, let's start at verse 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. So did the Lord Jesus know that these thoughts were on the people's minds? Did he not know that they were concerned about what they were going to eat and what they were going to drink and what they were going to put on? Did he not try and clearly show them that He was in charge of all and that He would take care of all of it? Do we think which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto His stature? None of us. None of us can. And it is a matter, and as we think of these verses, and as Bill just recently read out of Malachi chapter 3, verses that are very similar, the passages are very similar. They're about putting the Lord first in our lives, and that the Lord will take care of all of these things after that. But invariably, we will say, but. I can't do this because of that, and I can't do that because of this. And that's how it is. And that's how we are. Yet all we need to do is to put the Lord first, and the Lord will bring these things to pass. Does it mean that you're going to go in the next day and all of a sudden your boss is going to come up to you and give you a raise? No, it doesn't. Does it mean that your life is going to get better? Does it mean that if you're sick, you're going to get well? Not necessarily. Absolutely not necessarily. But what it does mean, that you're going to have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. All understanding. That means that we can't even understand it. It is so great. But as Ryle says, we would think less of the roughness of the way if we more fully realize the rest beyond. But except we know, in its measure, heaven as our state now, how can we hope to enjoy it as our everlasting home? Kyle and Dielich say that this way that we're looking at, this way, is a journey. It's an actual journey that we're on. We're making a journey. We find ourselves on this journey. Proverbs chapter 10, 17. And people, believe me, I'm not speaking at you or speaking down to you. I'm speaking to myself. These words come to me as clearly as they come to you. Proverbs 10, 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He is in the way of life on this journey that keeps instruction. John Gill says that this way of life is, as it states in our verse, above. It leads to heaven and happiness above. The life itself is a way of or to above. It is hid with Christ in God above. Eternal life, glory, and happiness is above. It is a house eternal in the heavens. It is an inheritance reserved there and will be there enjoyed by the saints. And the way to it is above, and Christ is the way. And He is in heaven at the Father's right hand. And those that are in the way of it have their thoughts, their hearts, and their affections, and their conversations above. Faith which deals with Christ the way, and by which men walk in Him by faith, is signified by the soaring aloft, mounting up with wings as eagles, by entering within the veil and dwelling on high, and by looking upwards at the things unseen. And it is some way, sometimes this way is rendered the way of life, is above the learned men or the wise man. The man that has nothing else but his own natural understanding. And the man with only his natural understanding and wisdom will never find himself in the way of salvation. The way that leads to Christ. Because that way lies out of his knowledge. And this way, this journey, as John Gill says, is an ascent to him that understands. It is a going uphill. It is an ascending upwards and heavenwards, such as a man is continually looking upwards to Christ, the author and the finisher of his faith, pressing towards him, the mark of the prize, keeping his eye not on the things of earth, the things that are temporal, the things that are seen below, but on things, what? Above. Things above. Things unseen that are eternal in the heavens. And what is the reason? That he may depart from hell beneath, as our verse states. And one thing that we need to remember and never forget, those that are saved and are in the way of life, that is above, even they do not escape death. They do not escape the grave. But they are secured from everlasting ruin and destruction, from being destroyed, both soul and body, in hell, because they steer a very different course and a very different way. And that every step they take upwards carries them so far off from that place called hell, which is the contrary way. That contrary way is the broad way, the broad road, the broad way and road of sin, which is the lower way that leads to hell and destruction beneath. The narrow way of faith in Christ is the upper way that leads to eternal life above. And the question that each of us needs to honestly ask ourselves is, am I making this journey that has been spoken of? Am I in the way of life which is above? Am I one of the wise that is spoken of in her verse that is departing from hell beneath? If we stand before the Lord this night, how would God find you? Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for that instruction that you have given us tonight. We pray, Lord, we earnestly pray that we might be found in that way. that we might have our eyes not upon the things of this life, the things that are temporal and the things that are seen, but that we might have our eye fixed upon You and upon those things that are not seen, that we might see with the eye of faith the Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for Your atoning work in behalf of all of Your people called the sons of God, Your friends. Thank You, Lord. We ask for Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.